welcome back to part two of Man on the Moon, a lovely REM song. And there's nothing wrong with REM. They're great. And Carmen and I both love them equally.
Yep. And don't look at the last episode to hear that.
Don't believe anything Carmen wrong. Says, because it's all only what I say. We are going to start this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland. REM is overrated.
There's one person.
Is it one of April's sisters?
It's not.
Damn. Okay. Is it the veterinarian guy with the sheep?
No.
Fuck. Who is it?
Becca.
That was my next choice.
Becca is played by Tracy Villar. I'm not sure how to say her last name, but she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Excuse me, okay. I had a giant yawn. Okay.
Well,
so
good.
At the end of last episode, I was about to have a big rant about Christina and Meredith. And my issue, like, I see what you're saying, where, and like what we kind of talked through about how Shane is acting, how he's acting, why there are parallels to Christina, but why it is different in a bad way. A lot of it's ego, a lot of it's entitlement. A lot of it is like acting with authority he does not possess, an experience he has not had. My issue with Meredith saying what she says to Christina is what she is saying is this: hey, this person has started being really shitty. Do you think it's because he's trying to act like you? How would that not be taken poorly?
And tracking. I'm with you. Absolutely.
When she first comes in, it's like almost normal, to the point where I was like, did we skip an episode? Like, they're just fine now? She comes in and she's like, you know, how's it, like, I heard, you know, it didn't go great with baby Nathan. Like, I'm sorry, how's he doing? And she's like, oh, he's like, we have the plan. He's stable now, or stable-ish. And she's like, oh, I heard it went really well with the sheep. And she was like, yeah, the sheep died. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like almost back to normal Meredith and Christina. And I was like, wait, did they resolve it? And did I skip something? Like, did I fall asleep while I was watching this? What's happened?
And so, I actually thought that scene is going to be the resolution scene.
Yeah, it was not.
It was not. Spoilers! It
very quickly becomes hostile because, again, Meredith's like, let me list all of these issues I've noticed about this person. Is it because he's trying to act like you? Obviously offensive. Obviously upsetting, insulting. Now, again, we just discussed, I think, what the intent was. It executed horribly. So, and then he pages Christina and she leaves, obviously. But also, we got to backtrack to the beginning when they're having big, weird sex, and it's so weird. And I don't think there's chemistry. Do you think there's chemistry? I don't think there's chemistry.
No, I was actually having this feeling, and this is coming from someone who correctly predicted the chemistry between George and Izzy. There's not chemistry. It is weird, though, how even when there's no chemistry, he's like kissing her hand, and it's like there's like romance.
And they're playing, they're just like, oh, you're the teacher, I'm the student. I'm like, it's weird, it's gross, it's illegal, it's sexual harassment, it's...
We need
dynamics.
To call HR.
It's super bad. I hate it so much. It's also just like so weird to watch because of all of the things I just listed. So, yeah, it's not my favorite.
Yeah, it's... No, it's... All of it is kind of the worst, and that's okay because it's a TV show, and we know... I hope we know. I don't know what's going to happen next, so I'm hoping that this is happening. I'm manifesting it. Is that Christina and Meredith will be fine again. They'll become best friends again. They're still each other's persons, right? But, yeah, Shane's kind of being a dick. Mm-hmm. They're smushing. They But it's like, then there's that moment where they have the baby Nathan's like doing better, and they have this high five celebration. Like, mm-hmm.
And that's
there's
cute,
like a lot of
but
things.
I feel like it's tarnished by the other stuff. Like, if they just had that moment, I would be like, amazing mentor mentee duo. Like, I love it. But because of the other stuff that's going on, I'm like, this is gross. It's weird and gross.
Yeah. It is worth mentioning there's a little bit, while not all of the similarities in the mirrors are there, Christina also was boning her superior.
True.
At
in more
this
than,
point,
more
I think,
once.
In the relationship. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Which again, power dynamics.
Power dynamics. Yeah.
It's a problem. So. Yeah, I don't know. Was there anything else with... Oh,
well,
when
he
just, like, gets super hostile with Meredith in the elevator for no
reason.
Oh,
my gosh.
Like,
yeah.
She gets in the elevator and she's like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, stop fucking gloating. Like, you're just so happy that the sheep is alive and the baby almost died and you're just, like, fucking partying about it. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, don't speak to me that way. And he's like, oh, fuck you. And just leaves. It's wild.
Yeah, and then just proceeds to walk away, and she's like, Shane, get back here! And he's like, bitch, who are you?
Yeah,
I've never seen before in my life.
Yeah, it's crazy talk.
Yeah, I do not like these things that are happening. I don't like how they're writing Shane in these episodes. It does not feel good. It's not a character that I long for. Mm-hmm. I also don't long for Christina taking advantage of Shane, because at the end of the day, she's the boss, right?
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because I also want to make sure that I, as a Christina apologist, do call out the fact that she is taking advantage of the power dynamic, and she is like I have issues with the way Shane is acting towards a lot of other people, but in this specific thing, like just in the sex aspect, Christina, in my opinion, is more in the wrong. She's majority in the wrong as the person with the power.
Yeah. But to your point, I think you mentioned in the last episode, there's this him making executive decisions when he shouldn't you have so much on your plate. I thought that I could help. Shut up. And then there are like no cameras. And then Shane's like, I think we should ask Dr. Yang what she thinks. Right, Dr. Yang, don't you think this is a good idea, Dr. Mm-hmm. Yang? And like peer pressure started doing the cameras for the surgery, whatever. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. But then, that scene when they're on the elevator and he's like just being a salty little idiot. Like, it's just dumb. And
yeah, it's gross.
I think we have the success scene. Ultimately, Nathan's surgery goes well. We're led to believe he's fine. They have the cute high five. We have the opposite arc where it starts cute and Steph is like dancing in the background while Meredith is like doing her thing. We change the face of medicine and she's like super awesome and jazzed about it. And they kind of have their moment together. But like, then it ends up bad. So it's also at the end of the day, it's not about winning or losing. And if anyone made it about winning or losing, Shane, it was you guys when you fucking walked in and said, no, this is our machine, not your machine. Then you built a schedule and you can constantly fuck the schedule.
Well,
I
think it's Shane specifically, because I do think Christina is trying to still be a little more respectful once Shane like screamed at Meredith.
Fair.
And, but like, I think separately, Meredith and Christina can have respect for their, like each of them, what they're using the printer for. What I did like that Meredith did in this episode was I do think she was doing a really good job fostering Stephanie's excitement, even though it's like more removed from the medicine that they have, that everyone else practices, where they're like treating patients and doing surgeries, not on sheep. And even like Steph is really excited and she does say like, whatever, you know, like stop jumping basically. But Steph is excited. And then when Stephanie's really upset when the sheep dies, Meredith does a really good job making sure she doesn't like lose her passion for it by saying like, this is part of the process. Like you have to fail to make the progress to learn anything. Like you're not going to get it right on the first shot. And like, it's okay to be upset, but we're not going to give up. We're not going to like let it defeat us. And so I do think there's a really good teaching moment by Meredith there.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed, agreed. I like it a lot.
Gosh, there was something else I was going to say. I feel like, when I think it's Leah's like, oh, they're putting a conduit in a baby. You're bothering a sheep. That gave me a chuckle. You're bothering a sheep.
Well, they ended up murdering the sheep.
Yes. Again, that's bothersome.
It is bothersome. Any other thoughts with the Christina and the Meredith and
I don't think
the
so.
Whole...
I think we're good
I
on
will
them.
Say one thing I liked about how they were, like, the medicine side of the whole thing, they had that montage going back and forth, and mm-hmm. I really liked it. It started with, let's see, where's my starting point? It starts with... her talking through the cameras, and it's like very intense. She's doing all the stuff, and then, you know, Meredith is getting the blood flow, and then Christina's condo is not going well, and it's all going back and forth, and then it ends with them telling that the kid's going into VFib, and Shane's like, stop filming, get those cameras out of here.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to black, and I mean that feels like very classic. I say classic Grays as if I'm a veteran, but classic Grays mm-hmm. with the montage-y stuff. I really liked that, the way they delivered that scene. So
yeah,
it was tense, but not too tense. You know.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, okay. Of course, I thought it was very cute with Meredith and Steph dancing in the background. And
yeah,
ultimately, Meredith is like, "Are you with me, dude? Are you with me?" Because this is your chance. Be with me. All is forgiven.
Yes. Agreed. Okay, so let's talk Joe and Alex and Jimmy, who you mentioned last episode. So were you excited and or surprised to see him back?
I feel real stupid because I think I was like, man, I thought that he would have been more involved. Wham! He's involved. Yeah. I felt a little bit silly, but the second he came back and I was like, well, of course. They held out just long enough for me to forget about this guy.
Well, no, you didn't forget about him. I think we've mentioned this before where similar things have happened where you've been like, hey, where's this person? And like the next episode they show back up. So I think honestly that's kind of a credit to the writers. They're keeping him away just long enough for you to go, whatever happened with that? And then they'll be like, well, we'll show you.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for Olivia, guys. I liked the fact that Jimmy was back. It was we could talk about the specific storyline, but yeah. Kind of an intense storyline overall, you know,
for sure, very much so. Jimmy shows back up, Paige's Joe, and she's like, you cannot be here, like, you gotta go. And he's like, no, you said you'd help me, like, I'm getting clean, but something's wrong. And she's like, no. And then he passes out, obviously. So she like treats him because she is a good person. And so then he keeps saying he's clean and he doesn't want these drugs. And they're like, fine, we won't give them to you. I guess you're just going to have a bad time. And he does, in fact, have a bad time. So I am confused. I will be honest with you, because he keeps saying that he's been clean. And they keep saying he's going through withdrawals. So to me, it seems unclear because he is very obviously hallucinating. Like, he's having something going on. Did you have a read on this?
Yeah, I mean, he can say he's been clean, but that could be one day.
So you're just thinking he's lying. I thought he had said a time frame.
But maybe he did. If he did say it, I didn't catch a time frame. But, you know, it's like people who say, I gave up smoking. And I haven't had a cigarette in one day. Me.
You know what?
I haven't bought Pokemon cards all month.
You have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You're not starting.
Same thing with getting... Well, I'm on a... I'm
You're
on
not,
a pause.
You have no effort to... Or no desire to start. Not. To start stopping.
That's because I don't have a problem.
Anyways.
You guys can't see Kelsey's face, but I can.
Anyways.
But did it say how long he was clean or no?
I'm trying to find it, but I'm not seeing it here, but I'll have to double check. But anyways, So obviously she like wants to put him in to a rehab facility instead of admitting him. And Owen's like, oh, you have to admit him. Like he's going, like he's mentally or sorry, physically ill. And you treated him the last time he was here. So maybe you can do your job and it will be fine. So he, like they get him admitted. He's kind of in and out of it. He's hallucinating. Again, they keep saying it's because of the withdrawals, but they won't let him, or he requested that they not put him on medication that eases the withdrawals. I don't know the logistics of methadone and why he would be against it. Maybe because it is still technically, like maybe it's classified as a narcotic. I'm not sure. And maybe that's why that he's like, oh, I got to do it all the way. Or whatever it is that he says. So anyway, so he's going through withdrawals. He's hallucinating. And a lot of the hallucinations is almost like he's like not lucid in the current time. He's like back when Alex was young and he's with Alex's mom. And he keeps talking about Helen being the mom. He's like, oh, why didn't you get Alex? You know, kind of revisiting the fact that Alex's mom was mentally ill and Alex's dad was using drugs or drinking or whatever it might be. And so he's, you know, like you left Alex. He's like yelling at Joe like she's Helen, but he's also yelling for Alex like, oh, who broke this? Blah, 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 all this stuff. So it's not painting a great picture. It is painting a clearer picture of what, you know, we've already been told about Alex. So. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a new spin on withdrawal. Like I think the way that I've seen it portrayed in cinema is not like cinema. This, like this flashback kind of thing. But at one point, like I thought he was gonna hit Joe, like
yeah,
just start punting because I thought he was going to think that Joe was Alex's mom
mm-hmm.
in this like flashback thing. And he, I imagine was abusive to her.
Yeah. That's kind of, that definitely seemed to be where it was going before Alex steps in and kind of pulls him off of her.
Yeah. Also leading up to this, it's worth calling out again, Joe kind of just puts her foot in her mouth every once in a while. She's like, all right, hey, I have some bad news for you, Alex, that you're not going to want to hear. And he says, okay, well then just don't tell me. And then she proceeds to just tell him what the news was.
Yeah. Like, well, I think Joe, it's kind of one of those things. It's like with the last time that was bad when she was like, your dad's, he is your dad. I think it is more valid to be like, your dad is here, because the likelihood that Alex is going to like somehow see him, I think the warning is better so that he's not like completely caught off guard. So I do think a little more than the last time, which last time was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a bad one. So, yeah, but anyways, yeah. But when he like falls and he goes to kick him out and he goes, mm-hmm. hey son, how you doing? And yeah. It's like, okay, the reveal is I now know that you are my son, and that's where we're at.
And he says like, oh, I remembered as soon as I saw you standing over me, because it reminded me of when you were 15. And I'm just like, how different can he possibly look that you wouldn't remember him? Or is it more of like, this guy was so drunk or stoned or high or whatever it may have been when Alex was still living with him that he doesn't even remember that? And then he's like, oh, I only remembered because you were standing over me after you punched me, like, you know, when you were a kid, which is, again, also fucked up.
Also fucked up, yeah. So anyways, there's that scene where he goes and he like throws Joe up against the wall. Luckily, mm-hmm. Alex is there. Joe stops him from doing anything else, which is good because now he's in the hospital, and that mm-hmm. would be a felony of major proportions. And then, yeah, there's that really heartbreaking scene at the end where he's watching Jimmy lay there and Joe's like asleep and he says, he's basically saying, what did he say? Get in the mm-hmm. car before I give you something to cry about. And Alex mouths, before I give you something to cry about with him. And I'm like,
yeah,
man, fuck. Jeez. Like, this reliving sucks. It.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it's a heavy one. So I and did he's look still it there. Up. He said, "I've been clean for months, but I have to get off of all of it, or I haven't used in months." So maybe he's still in like the detox process,
or he hasn't been taking heroin, but he's been doing something else.
I don't know. It just says, "I've been clean for months. I have to get off all of it. I have to do it the right way." So that's what he said. So that's their truth.
Yeah. I do like, you know, so I mean, well, was there anything else on the Jimmy and Alex and the Joe of it?
I don't think so. I think that was all of it. Joe keeps being like trying to reground him in the current reality, and it's just not going on. And then when they put him back in the bed, they do end up restraining him.
Yeah, as they should.
That was it. Yeah.
There was one point where he was talking and kind of getting more like aggressive, and then she presses the button, yeah, which I assumed was more drugs.
Yeah, that was.
And then
confusing.
He
kind
of goes to sleep. Was it drugs? Was it not drugs? I don't know.
I think it.
Or was
I mean,
it just not methadone?
I don't think it would have been methadone, but I think it would have been something like morphine or something, which is again,
worse.
Yeah. I don't know, unless she's just like pumping him full of melatonin. I don't know. I don't think they're putting that in the IVs.
It's magnesium, actually.
Yes. So.
Just a fuck ton of magnesium.
So, I don't know. So, that was a little unclear, but other than that, I kind of... Yeah, the timeline of it... The timeline isn't a problem for me. I'm just like, how different can he possibly look from 15? But maybe it's a lot. You know, maybe he looks really different. I don't know. You look really different from 15, so
yeah.
I don't look. I'm gonna be honest. I don't look that different from 15. I was kind of looking like this for a long time. Mm. I mean, obviously, I look 20 years older, but I don't look like a completely different human being. If I saw someone I knew when I was 15, they would probably recognize me.
You know, that's a good point. I wonder if people would recognize me. Maybe. Maybe not.
It's true. I could definitely see. You know what? I'm going to take it all back because I'm just thinking of that one picture of you from high school. And I'm just like, that doesn't look anything like you. So maybe I kind of, especially if you throw a lot of drugs and alcohol in, I kind of am seeing now how this could have occurred.
Yeah.
I'm coming to this realization in real time.
Well, I'm just glad that I could help be a vessel for this realization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to hear a funny story that is kind of related to this? I sat down and got coffee with my dad and saw him in person for the first time in 4 months. And he texted me saying he was here. I walk up to him to say, "Hey, I got a table." And he turns around and didn't see me there. And he goes, "Oh, are you in line?" And then he was like, "Oh, it's you." Like he started to like ask me a question and didn't realize that it was me. And I had my hat on backwards and like a hoodie or something. So maybe it only takes 4 months for dads to forget what their children looks like. And Jimmy has not seen Alex in years, a whole lifetime, really.
Yeah.
Plausible.
It
plausible.
Would seem that way. Did you have anything else on that storyline?
No, I don't think so. I will say, the only thing from like a human side of this is like, damn, Alex just does not want to have to keep reliving this part of his life. And Jimmy just will not let him alone, will not leave him alone.
The universe is out to bring him back to all of it.
Apparently.
Yeah. So
when Alex just needs a parent to leave.
Okay, T. All right. Well, then let's talk about Miranda.
Miranda!
This episode is chock full of it.
In a good way.
It's so true. So Miranda has been, I guess, told that she has to have this psychiatrist follow her around. And that's been happening for 2 days.
Did they say the name of that doctor?
Dr. Alma.
Dr. Alma. Okay. I thought they said Dr. Altman, and I was like, are we just recycling names?
No, Alma. I see how you could hear that. Alma.
Yeah, when he said, I thought he said Dr. Altman, and I was like, damn, okay. They could have just brought Teddy back. Like, it's fine, guys.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Jake is in a new TV show or a new movie.
Yes,
or something.
I keep getting the commercials for it. Yeah. He is aging like fine wine. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
Okay. So she has been followed around by this woman for 2 days. And she's like, I can operate again because this woman won't leave me alone. And no one's like, well, I'm going to ask her. And she says, no, he's not clear. Okay. So then she won't do it. And this woman, she's like, just tell me what you want me to do to, like, let me go have surgery again because I'm sick of this bullshit. Oh, also, Richard gets discharged. Finally. Finally.
Which is exciting. Exciting.
Finally, 11 episodes in. And she's like, okay, let's go to the skills lab, and you have to do 5 stitches without giving in to your OCD behaviors. And I did not care for this depiction yet again. Let me pull up my notes specifically so I can make sure. Because okay. Without engaging in OCD behaviors, and then gives a list like, oh, don't mess with these instruments. Don't pull on your fingers. Don't do this. And she's like, don't double check a stitch, which to me just sounds like good doctoring.
Yeah.
Don't check your work. Just like trust that everything you've done is perfect and then just hope the person doesn't die. Like, I don't think taking a look and going, yes, that's good, is problematic. Now, are there potential OCD behaviors that Miranda has exhibited that could be negative for patients? Yes. Like what Bed said, she kept the guy under for an extra hour. That obviously would negatively impact a patient. I don't think double checking a stitch or giving her fingers a tug would necessarily be problematic to the point where she cannot be functional in her job. And I feel like they are doing a 0 or 100, all or nothing. They're almost painting it as like, you cannot be functional. And that to me doesn't read great with like the portrayal. Again, we don't have an OCD diagnosis, so I can't speak on it from that perspective. I'm just kind of looking at it as, I just think there had to have been some more talk therapy that we didn't see, and I wish that we could have, because I think that would have been a great opportunity to kind of show getting an actual diagnosis instead of just all of these people around her being like, guess she has OCD. And I just didn't love that aspect of it. Then I will say, when she first messed up all the trays and was like, don't touch any of those, I was like, how is she going to do anything? But then she said all the instruments were on her other side. And I was like, okay, I still don't love this, but I was like, well, no one can work in those conditions. But I will say, when she said, oh, the instruments are over here, I was like, okay, fine. I still think you're being rude, but okay.
Yeah, I also was like, I'm confused, but okay, now it makes sense. Yeah. What was it that you just said that I was like, oh yeah. Also, they're just walking around with a jug of prescription medication.
Yeah, she just whips that out like a prop. Just take these meds and everything will be fine. First of all, again, can't speak from experience on OCD, but I can speak to experience on other mental illness medication. That shit is not going to kick in right away. So even if you start taking it, I would assume, based on my experience, it's going to be like a solid 2 to 3 weeks before you're really like in a groove. And a lot of times what's tricky about mental illness medication is it can be a bit of a testing like gray area to get the dosage and the prescription that's right for you, because different people respond to different medications in different ways. So I didn't love the presentation of like, take this pill and we'll just let you operate because everything will be immediately fine again.
Yeah. Dr. Alma, not Altman, is out here mm-hmm. like, this candy bottle I have for you, it's the same effectiveness as Tylenol. You're going to feel the impact and your OCD will be gone immediately. It's just not. It's crazy. It's wild. I like that Weber is part of the storyline, and I'll tell you more on why after you hear a medical equipment and instrument / OCD medicine commercial because of capitalism. So we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. And we are back. Thank you, OCD medication.
Yes.
I actually hope it's, what's his name? I hope it's Mark Cuban's pharmacy is doing an ad for our Patreon, for our Discord, for our, just our podcast, whatever the words that are coming out of my mouth are supposed to be. What was I going to say? It was the point of the thing. Oh, I love that Weber was included in this. Yeah. Because there's a lot of like overlap that I found. You know, you've Jimmy, who is dealing with the worst part of an addiction, mm-hmm. Weber, who has overcome an addiction, and Weber is now making the parallel of addiction and the disease and what Miranda is facing. I don't think that anyone else, not even Ben, gets to pour into and speak with authority on this situation that Bailey's in the way that Bailey needs it, other than Weber. So I really like that part of the storyline. I really like where this is at. And I like that basically Weber also got to see her have a breakdown and he didn't like leave and hear Dr. Alma talk about it. Mm-hmm. He saw yeah. it. Yeah. That I think was really powerful to the character writing. And that's on the heels of him saying, Bailey, you're the one who got me out of this bed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of really cool stuff that's happening here. And
we
I
had
love
mentioned
the way
previously,
it
would be nice to have him included in this like struggle storyline for her because they have such an established and positive relationship. So it makes sense that she would trust him and believe him and like that his word and his opinion matters. And like him saying it's okay to accept help is, you know, first of all, true. And second of all,
yeah.
like means something to her. Cause I think if, you know, yeah. honestly, even if Ben was like, it's okay to accept help, she would have been like, well, I only need help because of you. So I think it's I am glad that he was kind of looped in and he doesn't even really say anything about it. He just like is picking up on it because he knows her and like he just knows the situation. He's kind of seeing what's going on. So it was nice that yeah. he was, you know, part of that solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I also like the way that Weber described his alcoholism is like,
mm-hmm.
I was going to be at home alone by myself, sad, and mm-hmm. I was going to want to drink. But you know what? When I'm happy and I'm with people and I'm celebrating, I also want to drink. Mm-hmm. This shit doesn't go away because you think that you're mentally stronger than it. You have to like do a whole bunch of work. You mm-hmm. have to have a support system. And right now, this pill is like step one. Let's get
yeah,
you
it's
like
part
the
of
part
the
one
part
of the support system. Yeah. Yeah. So very impactful.
Yeah, they don't really like go into her reason on why she's so against the medication. I don't know if it's like an admittance of having a quote unquote problem or whatever it might be, but she is very against it for whatever reason.
I think the way that I'm interpreting the writing around it is pride. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all pride.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who are against medication for mental illnesses. I obviously am not. And I think I've told this story before, but when I first was on medication, I then, like, asked the therapist, like, how long do you think I'll need to be on this? Or like, when can I, do you think, like, stop taking it? And they said, that is the equivalent to a diabetic person asking when they can stop taking insulin. And I said, oh, never. Great. And you obviously hear a lot of stories about people who are on medication and they are doing well because the medication does its job. And they think, oh, I don't need this anymore. It's worked. I don't need to take it anymore. And then they obviously fall back into the original issues.
Yeah.
So it is kind of, you know, a tricky thing. And there, again, like I said, there are medications that will work for some people and won't for others. And it can be really frustrating, just like when we talked about how in the beginning, finding a therapist can be frustrating. The same can be said for like trying to find the right medication. Because if you like take something, it can potentially make you feel worse or like have different side effects that are unpleasant. And then you have to go kind of back to square one and be like, okay, well, what else can we try? And then just go through it again and cross your fingers that it's the right one. So, yeah, I think pride is probably, especially with Miranda specifically, we know her to be like a very strong-willed and like very proud person. And I think it would make sense that she just wouldn't want to admit or ask for or accept help.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think we did it.
I think we did. The last thing I want to say on that is, I think, and again, like we haven't really, I think we've tried to be very, cognizant of, we don't have OCD, so we can't speak on it too much, but like the way at least they wrote Dr. Alma's character is she's very in tune. She's an expert because the second she did something, Bailey's like, look, I did it. I did the stitch. And Alma is like, yeah, okay, you're right. And you touched your, you counted your fingers 20 mm-hmm. times. So when you could do the stitch without doing X, Y, Z, we're good. So I don't know. I like the way that they're writing the dynamic. It seemed on my very low knowledge base accurate. But again, you know, if you have OCD out there, you're, you know, someone who's working on it or on medication for it, and you feel comfortable reaching out and letting us know, email Kelsey at graysacademypod@gmail.com.
Okay. All right, so let's get into some Discord questions.
All right.
Now that you know April's sisters, how do you think her child? What do you think her childhood was like growing up? Feel like she was probably picked on, probably ganged up on each other.
Yeah, I don't. I'll be honest. I don't think that meeting April's sisters has changed the way that I think that her growing up was. Like, I'm friends with enough people who have grown up in very religious households. I've known enough people who, you know, are farmers who are religious people, to know kind of like they're all kind of the same in not to stare. I don't want to promote stereotyping, but like, I get it. I kind of see it. It makes sense to me. Meeting her sisters did not change that for me.
Yeah. Did either of you or your spouses invite an ex to your wedding? No.
No. Did I? No. No, I didn't. I had a moment of panic.
Did you invite that one girl that was like, my grandma died, and then never talked to you again?
No, but I hope she doesn't show up randomly at my house because
I also hope that. Married. That'd be weird. I hope that for everybody that doesn't currently just like speak with you on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any predictions for Bailey's OCD journey?
I think she's healed now. The pill was her healing. She's healed. Because I don't think we're going to get a prolonged healing journey. I think that they're just going to write in that the pill was an instantaneous effect and we're it's working.
Okay. Should Matthew have done what he did? Was he trying to show off? I do wish they would have explained this a little more, because when he ended up being wrong, I was like, then why did he do it? Like, give him a little bit, like, I'm fine with him being wrong, but it would be nice if we got a little bit of defense other than, was he really just trying to show off? Cause like, that's a person's life.
Yeah. I also, you know what I hate is when people give the pity kudos. If he was actually wrong, don't tell April he was right. Mm-hmm. But the answer ultimately is no, he should not have done it. The surgeon was right there. What he should have done is said, hey, Jackson, let me get this fucking nut job out of the way. This guy needs an emergency trach. Can you do it, professional surgeon? Thank you.
Yeah. How would you feel knowing your ex named a pig or any animal after you?
If an ex of mine had a pet bald eagle or a tiger, that'd be pretty cool. And they named it after me. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be dumb.
A pig, though. a pig is
well,
no.
She's they have a pig farm. They have a lot of pigs. They got to be naming them. You know, sometimes you're going to run out of name. You got to name a pig after everyone, you know. Now, not all of us hate pigs the way you hate Bella. R.I.P.
Well, did you? I actually learned a new fact about pigs today. You want to hear this?
Yes.
So, pigs, very shortly after birth, all get their tails docked. Do you know why they get their tails docked?
No.
Because they'll fucking walk around eating each other's tails.
That's so funny because people are constantly like, pigs are so smart. Pigs are so clean. Why are they eating each other's tails?
Pigs are carnivorous beasts.
I did know that. They will eat anything.
They'll eat anything. They eat humans. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. They, like, I'm not going to go into some of the stories that I know about pigs eating humans from garbage piles in third world countries. It's fine. I'm not traumatized. But yeah, I was talking to two of my nurses today, and one of them, they're like reminiscing about having to do their farm animal like studies as part of their overall learning.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I remember like if they basically... In the first 3 days, you get the pig and you cut the tail, and there's no nerve endings there. Anything past 3 days, it's considered it's a surgical procedure or something to that effect. If you're a surgeon out there, or you're going through like your livestock training, I could be botching this. So I know we have a couple of vets who are going to school right now. Please message me and confirm these things. But yeah, it's just crazy. And that when they were like, yeah, because they eat each other's tails, I'm like, that's nuts. They'll eat it. These pigs will eat anything.
Yeah, pigs are wild. Small sidebar. Some of them are domesticated. On my way from my house to Scarlet School like 3 months ago, there's a people at a stop sign. So they have a big corner lot. This is not in my neighborhood, but it's close. They have a big corner lot and it's fenced in. They have a garden and everything. And a couple months ago, they got 2 Highland cows. Amazing. Life-changing for me specifically because I love Highland cows and I get to see them every day. And then this past weekend, one of them had a baby. Oh my God, it's so cute and fluffy. Every time I drive
by.
What
are the Highland cows? Are those the ones in the Budweiser commercials?
That's a Clydesdale horse.
Ah, yes, yes. What did you just say? You just said a
Highland cow. You would recognize it.
Fucking.
It's like the fuzzy guys. You're doing amazing.
You said cow.
Yeah.
And I said horse. I want you to know that I wasn't doing a bit. I actually, my brain stopped working.
It's this one.
Oh, yeah. That's cute. That's cute.
So there's a baby one of those, and it's amazing. So anyways, okay, sorry, that was random.
Can we just take a moment? Can we take a moment? I want everyone, listen. I'm dumb.
They know. They listen to the show.
If we're going to put anything into a clip, like a video clip, it needs to be this. You ask me, hey, have you seen the Highland cows? And I go, yeah, from the Budweiser commercials with the horses. Fucking dumb. So, Carmen, you're dumb.
I can't believe you work with animals professionally.
I can't. They don't let me touch them.
They shouldn't. Okay. All right. We have one more that's kind of a long one. I'm going to sum it up basically, but I did ask Carmen's permission to ask this before. I'm not blindsiding him with this.
It's a lie. She's blindsiding
me. We had talked, obviously, a lot about our personal lives and our past specifically, and Carmen has shared a lot, but this is watching and wondering if Alex's storyline felt at all triggering for Carmen. I know he's been open and candid about his childhood and how he was treated growing up. Does he see any parallels with Alex's story? Does he have any personal insight on what it will take for Alex to actually forgive Jimmy and be able to have a relationship moving forward?
Good question. Happy to talk through some of these things. Who asked this one?
Shelby,
great question. I don't think that I have had as tumultuous of a relationship with my dad to the way that they wrote this fictitious character. I think it's worth pointing out that this fictitious storyline, while real for some people, I'm sure, mm-hmm. And worse for people, right? Mm-hmm. Was not fully my experience. I did not have a psychotic mom, and I did not have a dad who was constantly using drugs to my knowledge or recollection. Alcohol was involved, and I think that there definitely is some triggering, you know, thoughts there. But the abuse piece, did they say that Jimmy used to beat up Alex or no?
Yes.
Or
because yeah. I think at some point he says, like,
that's why he got into wrestling, beat me up, right?
Until I got big enough to hit him back, basically.
Yeah. The thing I will say that is different is once I got big enough to hit my dad back, he wasn't hitting me anymore. He had stopped with the violence, probably for that reason. Maybe my mm-hmm. dad, you know, was smart enough to think about that. But again, that's where maybe the drugs get into play. The thing that, well, you talk about, like, the forgiveness, what's going to make Alex get to forgiveness. I would say that I'm probably naturally a forgiving person, so I can't speak mm-hmm. to that part of Alex. But what I can tell you is there's, in my life, there has been limits and lines that I have drawn to where the forgiveness ends, and most of it revolves around, like, my family. So if it affects Marlo, if it affects Jess, the forgiveness, the gravy train starts to run out a bit on that, so to say. But to, like, overall answer the question, it didn't feel triggering for me. I was a little... triggered might be too strong of a word, but definitely there was some anxiety around watching the scenes. Yeah, relatability. But definitely there was an anxiousness watching the scene where Jimmy was, like, in a flashback that involved his wife, Alex's mm-hmm. mom, but Joe was going to be the one who received the violence of that.
Right.
So I didn't like that feeling that started to get in my gut a little bit. But also, Joe has physically been hit by a man recently. Mm-hmm. So, not Alex. I don't remember the guy's name. But
Chest Peckwell.
Chestington Peckington. Yes, that's who it was. I forgot that I had so much fun with all those nicknames, changing it every time. But yeah, I think the biggest thing for me that was different about the storyline was the involvement of drugs/heroin. That maybe that's how I was able to disassociate with this storyline specifically. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. I mean, abuse is no joke. If you're out there who you've
says
been abused,
you who constantly makes jokes about it. Like, you're right. Don't get me wrong. That just, like, because of how we specifically deal with trauma, that was a little bit funny to me. Sorry. He's Listen, right. Abuse is not a joke.
You better not. You better not be back. Laughing. You better not backtalk me if I'm around a glass plate in my house. So I'll reach for it.
Oh my god.
Okay.
It's
Sidebar.
Not a joke. It actually isn't.
I'm not taking a joke
away from that statement.
But also, no, it is kind of ironic because I do joke through the healing nature of my therapy journey, which is going great, you know,
yes,
honestly. But for those of you that don't know, or you're tuning in and you're listening to this for the first time, my father both physically and emotionally abused me and my mom. And the breaking point for their marriage was when my dad hit my mom over the head with a glass plate because she put the wrong mustard on his sandwich for that day before work. So, you know, it happens. I joke around with Jessica whenever she makes me mad and we're in the kitchen. I go and I reach for a glass plate as a joke, but I don't actually pick up the glass plate. I think that's where it transitions into a threat. So,
yes, we joke, I would agree
we laugh.
With that.
but it's because she knows all of my trauma. And I would never do anything to hurt Jess or Marlo. Or, you know, anyone, really.
It's
I don't
true.
Think I've... Yeah, don't want to hurt anyone.
I don't think you would ever actually hurt anybody. Except in, like, an act of self-defense. Or defending of your family. or loved ones.
Yeah. Unless a Supreme Leader soul. Donald Jesus Trump told me to out. Harm someone, then I will.
You look
I will.
Out. It's all on record. Look out. They're coming for you.
Dear Lord and Savior Donald Trump, please, please direct me your hand of God. Yeah, thoughts and prayers. Sorry, that took a wild turn. Anyways, I hope that answered the question. I was a little bit long winded, but
okay. Do you want to rate question, it and Shelby? Make some predictions?
Yeah. Can I say for as good as this episode was, it was like just a 3.8.
I agree. I would say like a 3.5. A lot of it is not so much that I dislike it, but so much as I do dislike it. I dislike watching it, but I'm like, well, I want to know, but like this in-between part is the unresolved. There's a lot of unresolved things that are yuck. I need the resolution.
Yeah, I think genuinely what ruins this episode for me is two people. It's fucking Shane and Leah. Shane and Leah ruined this episode for me. Bailey is going through a lot. Weber kind of has this hero moment because he gets discharged and then he comes back. Great, love it. Callie in Arizona, like, okay, they're making up, they're making out, they're doing their thing, who knows, but also go to couples therapy, it'd be great. Jackson and Matthew have this interesting moment. April has kind of this weird moment where she, like, through catharsis, makes herself look like a crazy person in front of her entire hospital coworker staff. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot happening. And then Derek, of course, just gets this hero moment because of picking up a bottle of water. So a lot happens in this episode, but nothing really happens in this episode.
Mm-hmm. We're definitely in a lot of a building stage.
Yes.
Building upon the past, building for the future. And I do really quick, we have to call out when Weber is in the back at the bridal shower just eating food and being like, oh, lovely, oh, beautiful. My gosh. So funny. So funny. He's like, and then they do this it. Is fucking good.
they do it when April, we didn't even call this out. April gets like the sexy lingerie when she thinks it's going to be her mom's veil. And they're like, she's like, oh, girls, you shouldn't have. Boom, it's lingerie. That's the
also,
catalyst that sets everything off.
How disappointing to be like, oh, they do actually know and care about me. No, they don't.
No. And then when the lingerie shows up and Weber and Steph and Joe are all like, magnificent, marvelous.
Stunning. Lovely.
Oh, it really so is good. Funny. I love when they throw those comedic jabs in every once in a while. Because the writers do well with the comedic vibes.
Yeah. I enjoy it. It's a good time. Okay. I think predictions. You predicted Bailey. What about Derek and Callie's research?
I think the research is going to continue. Becca is the turning point that they needed, which is good. I successfully predicted Weber would be back or discharged from the hospital before a certain point. I think he's going to be back in surgery in the next 5 episodes. I really need to see more with Jimmy and Alex, because I thought that when Alex was just kind of standing there watching Joe and Jimmy sleep and Jimmy was talking to himself and Alex had the moment where he's watching, I'm like, okay, maybe there's forgiveness that he wants to have. And then when he starts rehearsing the lines that Jimmy was going through, I'm like, nope, I don't know where this is going. You threw me for a loop. And then, man, I really thought Meredith and Christina were going to be on a better spot. So I'll predict Christina and Meredith are going to have a healing conversation by season 10, episode, this was 11, so 17. And it's going to be because of something that Shane does. Shane is somehow involved in this, and he's like positioning himself to be kind of the catalyst of, sorry, was that loud? I just accidentally kicked my microphone.
No.
He's like positioning himself weirdly as this, like, the epitome of all of the bad things that Christina has and does to Meredith, and I'm wondering how that's going to play out. So I don't have a ton of predictions at this exact moment. We saw almost no Owen, which was great.
So true. Love it. Love to not see it.
I do think, hold on, last prediction. Leah is going to be the next character to leave the show.
Okay. And what will bring us to her leaving.
Murder.
Good. Anything else, maybe? Is there an alternate option? Like, she gets murdered?
Nope. Yep. She either gets murdered by the writers, or she quits because she can't work because she's so in love with Arizona and she's going to go to a different hospital.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a moment and you haven't done it yet, if you could pop on that Apple Podcast and leave a little reviewsy, we'd love that. It makes Carmen sad when there aren't new ones, and he complains to me a lot about it. So it would really make me happy.
I check every day, sometimes 12 times a day. I'm just yearning for your reviews. I can't even buy Pokemon cards right now. I need the reviews.
Okay. Anyways, so this is great. We love you guys. Thank you so much for the support. Please keep sharing us, tagging us on everything. You can go to graysacademypod.com and find links to our socials. You can message us on there. You can message or email graysacademypod@gmail.com, and I will get back to you there. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just you remember.
No spoilies! We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you all in the next one.